Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. Today is a great day because this is the day the Lord has made for you. We are in an incredible season of talking about the importance of gifts and callings that God has placed upon our lives. Isaiah 6:8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. This is what the Father is looking for. Those of us that will say, Lord, I am called as a member of the body of Christ, the commonwealth of the church, but our mission field is outside the four walls of the church. And in that arena, in that place of influence, you've given me a responsibility, a calling. And so we want to help you to understand that God does have a mission afoot to take dominion over the world systems through the seven mountains of influence. There are all kinds of areas of influence that God actually has us to walk in as believers, but there are seven dominating areas in any culture, any government, that really defines the way people think. And if people's thoughts are shaped in a certain way, it will define how they act, and how they act will determine what their actual experiences or what the results of their actions will manifest. And so this is why we bring to your attention that there are seven mountains of influence. You know, the mountain of God, what many refer to as the religious systems. Every culture, every government, every nation has a religious system. And sometimes that system is atheism, sometimes it's Islam, sometimes it's Christianity. And so we need to be aware that what we believe about God shapes the way we behave, and the way we behave produces arguments that were being made by one national leader, you know, in Europe, and our government, our president. Our government, and they were criticizing us elevating our way of life. And I thought, well, I bet that country doesn't have people that are trying to invade their borders to become a part of that, because the way that your country and your nation and your environment believes about God determines the reality of the people and the circumstances of the people that are there. And so I really felt like God wanted to talk about the God mountain, talk about the family mountain, talk about the government mountain, talk about the educational mountain, talk about the entertainment mountain, to talk about the communication mountain, and to talk about the marketplace mountains, because all these platforms and peaks actually define how people think, and the way people's thought lives are defined will determine how they'll behave. And so in order for us to understand that more, I've actually asked Lisa Creighton, who is known for her writing but is a prolific prophet and teacher of God's word, to talk about what it is that we need to know as believers in the marketplace. What is it that we should understand calling to be? Is our jobs just a place where we go and make a living to feed our children, create our homes, all the things that we do to experience the American dream, or is it really a place that God's given us to express ministry, and how do we do that? And so, Lisa, thank you for coming back to the Voice of Destiny Show and sharing with us your heart. What do you think believers need to understand about callings in their workplace?
Thank you, Dr. Hopp. It's a delight to be back, and I'm just excited about what God is doing through your program and through you and your family. And just in your callers, your listeners' lives as well, because I perceive and I believe that those who are tuning in today are here for a purpose. They're not here by chance, even if they may listen to this another day, that they are definitely here because God wants to speak to them regarding that very question, and that's something that they've been asking. Am I called? How do I know that I'm called? How do I express this calling? And I think it starts by what you just said. The marketplace ministry is not just a physical place. Mm-hmm. We are the body of Christ, not because we are a temple that is made by hands, but because we are the temple made by the Spirit of God. And everywhere we go, we take the temple of God. Everywhere we go, we are God in we are expressing God in all that he is in everything mm-hmm. that we do. And so it's the same as the marketplace. Everywhere we go, we have an opportunity to reach God, no matter what our position is in the marketplace, whether we are the CEOs of a corporation or whether we're on the cleaning crew or whether we're in between, somewhere in between there. We have the ability to touch lives just by our servanthood, our availability, just by the fact that we have spent time with God, that what we have in us, we can share with others. But it's going to take spending time with God. We all want to be, so many people want to be called and go out there to the outside of their homes and out and to express all this and preach and teach and write and do all these great things. But they don't want to first spend time with the giver of that gift and that calling so that they can know what he wants them to do when he wants them to do it.
Wow. Well, I would love for us to help the body of Christ to see themselves. A lot of times people see themselves like, I want to be a great prophet like Moses. I want to be a great evangelist like Philip, you know. Well, you know what? God doesn't want you to be those things. But, you know, God wants you to be something to the world, and that's an ambassador. Because without you being where you are called to be in the sphere of influence that God's given you, there are people that would never, ever experience church. Because this is the hour that the church cannot be limited to going to church. We actually got to be the church. You know, we got to be the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia that are called out to accomplish very important exploits. And so I want to take a break here, Lisa, and I want to come back and talk about some of the biblical models and icons of marketplace ministry so that we can understand God's called us to be something in our field. We're called to work like our pastors are called to the pulpit. These are authentic callings that we need to understand, that Jesus is called to be the King of Kings, and kings rule and they reign, and God has given us a sphere in which we, through our occupation, can actually take dominion on behalf of our King. This is a great responsibility that we have as believers in these last days, that we will honor the calling and the assignments that God's given us. We'll be right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and indulged by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at YICenter.com. That's YICenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Praise God, brothers and sisters. Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopped. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. And our very special guest today is entrepreneur and writer Lisa Creighton, who is a woman that works in the marketplace as a professional, crafting words to communicate into the system, the world system, and she's doing it as a light for Jesus Christ. But throughout Scripture, we've always had marketplace models before us. We just didn't realize it, because in the church world, we call them something different than they would have been called in their day. We think of Dan as Joseph as a great prophet, but in Joseph's day, most people would have thought of him as a prime minister of Egypt. They would have thought of him as a governmental administrator. Most of us, in the church world, we think about Daniel, and we say, well, Daniel was a great revelatory prophet, but Daniel was considered in his day to be a governmental administrator who happened to have the skills, the communication skills of an intuitive, a seer, one that can see from the spiritual world and the natural world, which they didn't religiousize in that day. That was considered something that was a natural professional position to have, to be able to communicate and interpret from the intangible world to the physical world. So we have to understand that there are many, many models, like Paul, you know, who was considered by most people initially as a tent maker. He was a governmental official who was disgraced and joined that group that's in the way, and he's taken up building tents, and he makes some really good tents, and you should let him into your borders because of those tents that he's made. But most of us, we see him as the Apostle Paul, who really changed the world through the power of the callings and the gifts that God placed upon his life. Lisa, for you, what can we learn from these icons, and what are some of the ones that I didn't mention that you believe will be good models for us today that are called to work in the marketplace?
I think one of the things that we learn from them is not to forsake the calling that God places us in. So, for example, He gave us positions, He gave us professions, and in that, we use that as a segue, as a platform to begin to minister to souls. You gave a good example as Paul, because I was going to mention him. But what about Luke? When we talk about Luke, when you go back in the scriptures, Luke is often referred to as the physician. Mm-hmm. He was a doctor. He didn't take off his medical clothing in order to become a servant to Christ. Mm. And that's what happens in the body oftentimes. We feel, oh, we call the preach and teaching, so we got to quit our day job in order to minister to others. Where God is saying, but not everybody is going to be in that place of entertainment or ministry or business, so we need you in those spheres so that you then can touch the different people who only go in that arena. Okay, and so for me, for example, yes, I do all the writing, I do all the speaking, you know, I teach at conferences, I love doing all that. But when I first moved to Maryland years ago, I also then put back on my cap as a legal secretary because I couldn't find the corporate writing position that I most desired. And being a legal secretary has given me a platform to minister to managers, minister to attorneys, and not be fearful that because I'm at my day job, I can't speak for Christ. When God moves me to do that, I can have that influence. One of the things that Romans 12:11 says is that we would not be slothful in business, but that we need to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When we are faithful in our business activities, our marketplace roles, then God can then allow us to speak into others' lives. If we're not faithful at our jobs, if we're slacking off, if we're doing things that are not godly, no one is going to smell the aroma of Christ on us and be compelled to ask us what that is.
Wow. Many times people cannot hear our gospel because our poor work ethic is too loud, you know?
Exactly.
And we have to recognize that people that don't know Jesus, they don't look at your message first, they look at your work. Do you show up on time? Do you do what you do in a manner of excellence? You know, how do you relate and manage your situations with people? People look at these very natural things before they can ever hear any good news that you have to offer. And I believe that believers need to be equipped to go to work. Just like we often say people ought to train their children before they let them out into the rest of the world. Well, we pastors and ministry gifts, we need to train our members how to actually function in a secular arena. When you think about Daniel and his great assignment to bring the gospel to an unsaved world, a world that was caught up in the occult, he had to go into that world and recognize that anything he says incorrectly or not right could have cost him his life. So Daniel had an ability to go in and to represent God with an excellent spirit. And people see your spirit way before they ever see your body. And so we must keep this in mind as marketplace believers that that our calling is really, really translated into an application in our 9-to-5 circle of influence. And some of us, we have influences outside of our 9-to-5 in the community.
Right.
But again, people go back and they look at what do you bring to the table? Does it represent that which is good, that which is excellent?
One of the things we need to bring is humility. Because you said we need to train people how to do that. We have to have humility when we're in the marketplace. For example, you may feel the Holy Spirit is telling you to pray for someone. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that you would just stop that person in the hallway, lay your hands on them, and have them laid out flat in the pathway of a specific place in the building. Okay?
Interesting.
And I could almost say that I don't think that's what God was saying. But God can inspire you to go to pray for that person and then to ask them, would they like prayer? I go back to one of my good friends today. She was struggling with a situation. I was at a job, and I kept praying for her for a while. And I don't even remember this. She remembered me telling her when she walked by me, you don't have to deal with that. Like, God can help you or something. And she was a manager. And from that moment on, we became good friends. We would go to the, on my breaks, my lunchtime, we would go into the parking garage in her car. We would pray for an hour. We'd both be in tears, go wipe our eyes and go back to where we had to be. But I walked her through a really serious time in her life simply because I wasn't trying to do it proud and show everybody else that I can pray in tongues and I can lay hands out and I can prophesy to the masses. But I could confidentially handle that person's life.
Well, you know, Lisa, a lot of times we do these weird behaviors at work because nobody at church showed us how to do it, because the way we see our ministry gifts do it in the work in the church environment is very religious. And so we have to be taught, if God hasn't given us that wisdom, to how to translate the word of the Lord. You know, you can share a prophecy with somebody without saying it's a prophecy. You know, people know the difference between your words and the words that are of God. They can feel the stick of sense and discern the spirit behind your words. So you don't have to say, hey, I have a word of the Lord from you. You can say, I have an impression that I want to pass on to you. Hey, I want to give you something that will be food for thought.
I want to
tell you what I see. Would you say, Lisa?
I want to encourage you.
Yeah, I want to encourage you. We need to really break it down. Say, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. You know, we need to teach people because people don't know. You know, and it's just very fascinating to me when I run into this, where people, they want to duplicate what they see in the pulpit at work, and then wonder why and how ungodly human resources is for trying to shut them down from preaching the gospel of
right.
Jesus Christ. When the reality is, the employer is really not hiring you for that. You know,
exactly.
We are the fifth column. The fifth column, that is it's a military term for people who, like you have an army that's invading a city, and they have forces on the north, the south, the east, and the west. They have what's called the fifth column that is working within the interior of that city that is being clandestine, you know, and preaching their gospel and using words if they have to in order to prepare the hearts and the minds for the people that God is bringing deliverance to. We've got to be aware of the wisdom for ministering the gospel. Paul understood that he had to become all things to all men. This is why when he spoke to the people that was in that religious setting, he said, the people at Mars said, look, I want to talk about the unknown God. We need to know how to speak about the unknown God, because everyone's looking for him. They just don't know that his name is Jesus. And we are the ones that are to bring that gospel to them. Lisa, let's take a break here, and let's really come back and let's give our best wisdom for the saints about what do you do in your marketplace setting to exercise your ministry in a way that it doesn't compromise the integrity of what your position and your responsibility is there. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Always to give props to those that are our monthly voice partners. They really are the ones that save the day to help us to be able to continually bring this gospel of Jesus kingdom culture to you so that you can be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. If you would like to be one of those partners and access many of the other resources that we have here at Voice of Destiny, I invite you to voiceofdestiny.org. We do have a special gift for those that are partnering with us this month, a study of the book of Ephesians, so you can really understand the height and the depths of your calling. You can visit us at voiceofdestiny.org, and we would love to pass that gift on to you. We thank God for what he's doing to give us the privilege of bringing this activating message to the believers today. And today we are honored to have with us our guest, Lisa Creighton, who's a great entrepreneur, a scribe, an eclectic writer that's writing of Christian industries as well as in secular industries, bringing forth wisdom and excellence to our culture. And we were talking about believers' ministry in the marketplace. How are you able to do that? There are actually a lot of corporate organizations. They have actually organisms in which people can go and associate with people that share their faith. But as an everyday believer, what's the best wisdom strategies that you want to pass out there, Lisa, to those that's trying to figure out how do I have an impact and be relative through my faith in my workplace?
Okay, I quickly jotted down some ideas. The first one is to be prayerful. You have to have a prayer life that precedes you getting to work so that you know God's timing. You have to wait on that timing, but you at work, you have to do your very best work. We spoke about that. Be an exemplary employee before you can be an effective minister of the gospel in that workplace. Be consistent. Be consistent with people. Be forgiving. Not tapping to the spirit of the place that might be backbiting and all those kind of things, and you joining in these crowds. And so when it's time for God to use you as someone, they can't even do that because you were hanging out a crowd that was not one that he might. And be confidential. One of the things that amazes me when you're in ministry, when you're ministering often to people, you can almost hear anything, Dr. Hoppin, I'm sure you can agree, and you're not even fazed by it, because the Spirit of God allows you to hear somebody's problem and be able to give them the wisdom of God without saying, "Ooh, no, you're going through what?" you know, we're not grossed out about the life, because we're looking at the heart, and the heart from how God sees it. And we need to be able to take that confidence. If someone shares something with you on the job and you minister to them, you pray for them or whatever, you don't go take that and share with anyone else in that marketplace.
But they understood this. They understood that with Jesus' ministry, you know, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, they knew that what they shared with Jesus was going to be left with Jesus. They were going to hear it in a sermon, you know, in the pulpit or somebody around the office. They knew many people are attracted to you because they're seeking confidentiality, but they can get nowhere else if we're going to be the pillars of truth in that environment. So that's a very important point that you made up. So come on, give us the best ones. Give us the best ideas you have.
Be respectful. I mean, you still got to be respectful to people. Be respectful to the authority. Submit to authority whether you like it or not. These are just normal work ethics situations and conduct that we can do in order then to get in line. So I think about, Dr. Cobb, this is going to make you laugh. I think about I work for one attorney, and she was wonderful and great, and I like her a lot. And she wanted me one time you know, she got so complimented because, you know, one of the things I talk about as a single person is being, you know, faithful sexually to God. You know, abstinence is 100%, no matter how long it takes, okay? And so that goes against the culture. And people still come back to me because they still want, you know, love life.
Just know, you're still holding out? You're still keeping it?
Exactly, but they still, you know, even though they have these heart troubles, they know even though I'm not, you know, acting that way, I can still give them the wisdom of God of how to have a heart of healing after they've been, you know, dumped by man or female, whichever it is. And so in this case, this particular attorney, you know, she was coming to me for advice, and I'm giving her this advice, and I'm laughing to myself because she wants me to, she has some questions on what she should wear a particular night or whatever, and I'm saying, God, really? You know, and you would think, oh, my God, you know, here comes my religious cap. I can't even get through this minefield. And yet God just gave me the wisdom to share, you know, I don't go that way. You know, I'm abstinent. You know I'm not doing anything. But let me tell you what God wants beyond whatever you're going to wear that night. And then again, to minister that soul, because I didn't come down and say, oh, you know, I wasn't judgmental. I just was able to share from the heart of God. And so he puts me in these circumstances where I have to say, God, it's not about Lisa's. It's not, you know, somebody telling me they're going out for drinks. It's not for me to tell them don't go to drink, you know, unless God shares that with me or they're struggling and I give them that. But I can tell them what God wants, that that's not the best life God wants them to have. But I first have to have that open heart. I got to be vulnerable. I have to be open. I have to be non-judgmental. And then you know what? Even after they done share that or you've done stuff and you ministered to them and you've had this great prayer thing, you know what? They're going to come out looking for the work product. Is it done on time? You can spend an hour in a meeting praying for somebody, and they still expect that after 1 minute after that your work product should be done.
That's right. That's right.
So you're going to have to ask God to give you balance in that.
And as Christians, we have to be ambassadors. You know, we don't think having sex outside of marriage is wrong because we see it as icky. You know, it's because of what God's word says about it.
What
God's word. You know, I don't think it's wrong. I may not think that it's wrong to be a homosexual, or whatever. Of course, I do. But I'm saying, but I don't do it because. I think it's icky. It's because of what God's word say about it. And so when we look at the people that's in the workforce that don't know Christ, God's not judging them as much as we judge them. Because the biggest sin that he's concerned about them is the sin of not accepting Christ. He understands that if they're sinners, they can't help. That's what they do to cope. That's, you know, that lifestyle they have is what they do out of their nature. And so God understands it's their nature problem, not their pattern, their sin pattern. So we have to be able to love them right where they are, knowing that those issues God would deal with them once they accept Christ. The reason why they're doing those things that we think are icky and wrong and wicked and sinful, they're doing it because they have no capacity to do what's right because they're not born again. They don't have the nature to do what's right. And so having that perspective... Yeah, sin is sin to God.
I'm sorry, and that's what we have to be able to. When we're in the marketplace, we can't think if we're stealing something or we're doing something or we're gossiping, that that's any different than what that person is doing. And people are going to base us on that. They're looking at to see if we're sinning in the marketplace before we can speak to their sin in the marketplace.
Wow, wow. And people do look at how do you manage your sin. They look at how do you manage your troubles, your crises, because we're still human. We're born again, but we are human. And we go through relationship challenges. We go through family dynamics. And mm-hmm. people in a workplace, they get to find out about those things through the process of human resources, you know. And the people look at it and say, well, how do they handle that? You know, how are they handling that? They know that they once they were married, now they're not married. You know, what? How is that playing out in their Christian faith? Where is their God now? They need to know where our God is in our valleys and in our mountaintops, because all of this, too, is a part of our witness. So, Lisa, thank you. Thank you for bringing the gift of your wisdom to the Voice of Destiny show. Us helping to understand kingdom culture today is so very important to the heart of God, so that God's people can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for them. Those of you that would love to connect with Lisa, please visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org, where we'll have Lisa's bio and contact information, but you can also connect with Lisa on Facebook, as well as Lisa Creighton. Is that lisacreighton.com?
Yes, it is.
LisaCreighton.com. And brothers, remember, today is a great day, because this is the day the Lord has made for you. Remember, Voice of Destiny is available to you 24/7 at voiceofdestinyonline.com. God has a great plan for you, and today is a great day, because this is the day the Lord has made for you. Have a great one.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.